Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing. Fill this place. Holy Ghost, come upon our lives. Open our hearts for your word this morning. Open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts, our spirits to receive. May our spirits be open, not closed. May we be a people who do not judge, but who is open, receptive, hungry, and thirsty. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give him a big praise offering. Amen. So the Lord spoke to me to call the series Unshakable, Thriving, No Matter What Hits You. Which means that you have success, doesn't matter what life throws at you. And we're going to look at certain men of God in the Bible tonight. Today we'll start with one Abraham, but we're going to look at certain men. Men, the Bible says in James chapter number 5, verse number 16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse number 17, it says, for even Elijah, who has the nature like ours, saith he like ours. He had the same weaknesses like us, same flesh, same nature like us. Yet when he prayed, the heavens obeyed him and the heavens opened. And when he prayed again, the heavens shut. And when he prayed again, the heavens obeyed him and it opened and rain began to fall. Are you guys with me? But he had the nature like ours. He had flesh like you and I. He would go to the bathroom. He would make mistakes and he had tremendous weaknesses. But there were certain principles and character qualities in these men, right from Genesis to where we are today, that causes God to have attention on them, that causes God to move closer to them. But we're going to look at four principles halfway through that Abram applied in his life. The Bible that caused him to be called the father of faith. Are you guys with me? That caused God to say to Abram, listen, Abram, go out and count the stars. And as much as what the stars is, so will your descendants be. That's how much I will bless you. Abram was so rich that when he would move into a country, into a region, the kings would be threatened and would try to ask him to leave because he was richer than the kings. That is our father of faith. He was richer than the kings. We think he lived in a small little tent somewhere. No. These guys, no. He had so much silver, so much gold. You'll see it just now. But let's start there with, I want to go through scripture on your notes. John 16, verse number 33. And these scriptures that I'm reading now will kind of like be the introduction scriptures to the series. In this world, you will experience difficulties. But take heart. I have conquered the world. I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be safely unshakable and deeply at peace. This is the Message version. John chapter number 16, verse 33 in the New King James says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials, as if something strange is happening to you. He says, don't find it strange. 1 Peter 4, 12, the same version of New King James says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. Say with me, fire. When God puts fire on you, you must know that he loves you. Are you with me? Do not think strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, which is going to test you, as though something strange has happened to you. Hebrews 12 verse 8 says, verse 10 says, 12 verse 8, 10, 11 says, God corrects all of his children. And if he doesn't correct you, then you don't really belong to him. When I used to go through difficult times, I used to memorize Hebrews chapter number 12. When I was disciplined, even my spiritual father, I used to memorize Hebrews chapter 12. God corrects us for our own good because he wants us to be holy as he is. It is never fun to be corrected. In fact, at the time, it is always painful. But if we learn to obey by being corrected, we will do the right and live at peace. The other translation says, we will have fruits, peaceable fruits of righteousness. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. There's a spelling mistake there, sorry. His voice shook the earth. But next time, he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. But by this he means that he will shift out everything without a solid foundation, so that only the unshakable things will be left. So Job chapter number 5, verse number 17, says, consider yourself fortunate when, listen to this, consider yourself fortunate when God all-powerful chooses to correct you. I'm going to say it again. Consider yourself happy, fortunate, lucky, favorable when God rebukes you. Because the Bible says, listen, even though in time it does not feel like it, it's difficult. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, but it will begin to yield peaceable fruits of righteousness. When we go through tough times, when we are corrected by God, corrected by our leadership, doesn't matter what it is, and we submit to that, we begin to live a peaceable life. Are you guys with me? Okay. There are times, listen, they're on your notes, and like I said, on a Sunday morning, we teach more than what we preach. And I'm trying to our teachings could be sometimes go too much in the Greek for now, so I'm trying to make it for everyday person, but yet deep. And then we will, as the congregation grows, we'll go deeper. So there are times and seasons where the storms of life beat against every side. I have put about above every verse in the beginning of this year so that we can get an understanding and balance to encourage us when things go bad. The above verses, even myself, the above verses, I wrote there, I have memorized these things. I remember going through hell and high water, and I would have these verses stuck on my wall. Obviously, in more, I just put a few, but I would stuck verses on my wall that if I wake up, I would see it. If I go to bed, I would see it. That's how I lived life. Everything would come against me, but if I would begin to look at these verses to encourage me. Listen, when I'm being discipled, when I'm being disciplined, when I'm being corrected, when I'm being rebuked, I looked at the thing, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, I would look at the verses on my wall, and it says, those whom God rebukes, he loves. Those whom he disciplines, he loves. Come on, are you guys with me? I shared with on Thursday to the School of Discipleship. I told the guys, I said, when I had a team of about 15 to 20 people 4 years ago, every single person that I was hard on is still with me today. And every single person I was soft and easy and, you know, like pleasing people, like everything. Yes, brother, I love you. You know, let us not offend you. Just loving, every single one of them is gone. Are you guys with me? Because then they would see me in a weakness, or then they would see me in a way of like, I would after 2 years be hard on them, and their hearts has not been changed, and then they rebel. That's the only thing. They were all praying. They were all reading the word to a degree. They were all at our meetings. The only common denominator was some I was hard on, and some I was not. When God disciplines you, he loves you. Hebrews chapter number 12. It says that when God disciplines and rebukes us, that we are legitimate. And if we are not disciplined or rebuked, and if we do not heed to it, the Bible says that we are illegitimate. Are you guys with me? Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 12. That you do not become sluggish. Say with me, sluggish. In the King James, it says slothful, I think. Like a sloth. If you've watched Ice Age, how many of you know like a sloth? It's like, you know, sometimes I'd ask my team, come here and do that. And I said, move. And then they're still rebellious. Run. Slothfulness. A slothfulness is not actually lazy. It is when it's being translated as lazy, it's wrong. It's to be a sloth. I don't know how to explain it. You're still getting, you know, it's just like you're still getting the job done, but 100 times slower than what it is. When we move in the spirit, we go fast. So if I minister to people now, it's okay, but let's say in the evenings or so, when we move in the spirit, it's like I would be very fast. I'd be there, then I'm here, and then I'm there, and then when I give something to my team and they're not there, they're sloths. Okay, God moves fast. Heaven is always constantly moving. I don't know how to explain it. Man, that's how denominations came to pass. Your AFM, your PPK, and there's nothing wrong with those churches. But how denominations has been established, they camped at a certain move of God. When John G. Lake would come in, have a revival, everybody goes there, and they still do his teachings and etc. They camp at a certain move. in heaven, things move on. Come on, are you guys with me? Revelation brings movement. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When a church does not have revelation, it will never move forward. I thank God there's revelation here, otherwise we would not be in this building. When a church has revelation, a people feel like there's movement in them. They feel, I've just grown so much in a month. I've grown so much in 3 months. I haven't experienced this before, because there's movement. There's revelation. When Peter was on the mountaintop with Peter and John was with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And he was standing on the mountaintop. And the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, let us immediately build tents here for you, for Moses, and for Elijah. And he said, and Jesus said to him, no, whatever the scripture goes. But what Peter wanted to do in his humanly flesh, in his nature, he wanted to camp there at that experience. Never camp at an experience. Let it go from one encounter to another encounter to another encounter. I have to live my life from one experience to another experience to another experience. If I camp on how I encountered God at 18 years old, I will not be here. Are you guys with me? I have to constantly seek a fresh encounter with Him. If he reveals Himself to me as His deliverer, I grow, I move forward. Then I can become an expression as a deliverer to people. When I experience Him as my healer, I can be an expression as a healer to people. Every encounter I have with God, I become that encounter to others. When you encounter God, you carry that experience. Your spirit never forgets an experience. Your spirit never forgets an encounter. And if you don't believe me, try it. If you don't believe me, just stay here for a month. Whatever you encounter, you will reproduce. Are you with me? As I come and I minister, even on Sunday nights, and if my spirit creates a certain atmosphere, I had to have experienced that atmosphere at home before I can bring it here. Okay, let's get into the notes. Hebrews 6:12. Sluggish. Say with me, slothful. That's the actual word. It's actually not lazy, it's slothful. That you do not become slothful, but imitate those. Say with me, imitate. Aye, aye, aye. The Bible says, say with me, imitate. The word imitate there is where you get the word mime from, which means to do exactly as those who have gone before you. Problem with young people even today is they want to do their own thing. They don't want to copy and imitate. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Are you with me? Take somebody, say that's the person, that's that person carries the anointing, that one has results, that one has success. I want to imitate, then do. The Bible says do everything. If he walks left, you walk left. If he waves his hand like this, you wave your hand like that. That's how the anointing comes. Obviously, imitation without importation is irritation. Are you guys with me? But imitation with importation is impactful. It's powerful. A lot of people imitate Benny Hinn, imitate this one, but they don't have a relationship with him. Which means there's no importation. So imitation without relationship has no importation. Hebrews 6 verse 12, so that the second verse there and another translation, so that you will not be spiritually sluggish, but will instead be imitators of those who through faith and by patient endurance, even when suffering, are now inheriting the promises. If we inherit the promise through faith and patience. Are you guys with me? And imitating somebody else. So point number one there, I want us just to look quickly. What does it mean? I want us to look at some principles of what it means to follow somebody. I call the series Unshakable, because we're going to look at men of God, heroes of faith in Scripture. In Scripture, we're going to take principles that they've done and how we can apply it to our lives. Are you with me? So first of all, we need to know, number one, that we can become unshakable by following God Himself. Ephesians 5 verse 12 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. For God is a sweet-smelling Savior. So number one, we must follow God. Successfully following God is done by walking in love and sacrifice. Did you know that it is impossible to follow God? Which better person is there to follow God? Did you know that it is possible to follow God? But following God comes through love And sacrifice. So we sacrifice. Oh, that's a hated word. Say again. See, you don't even want to say it. Say sacrifice. That's a hated word because you have to feel it daily in your own life. Point number two, we become unshakable by following a man of God, a man that God uses who is following Christ. So 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What happens is in the church today, we have a lot of people following businessmen, following motivational speakers only, and they don't follow somebody who follows Christ. Are you guys with me? Point number three, we can become unshakable by following someone who has followed the person you really want to follow. I don't know if you guys are catching this. If I see somebody that I want to look up to and I can't get to them close, I want to follow somebody that is close to them. Where's the scripture? Philippians 3 verse 17. Dear brothers and sisters, Paul is saying, pattern your life, shape your lives after mine, and learn from those, say with me, those who follow our example. He's saying, listen here, follow my life, imitate me, but also those who are following me, follow them. In a church, as we grow, what is very painful for me is that I can't spend time with everybody. That is why we're raising up leadership. Are you guys with me? That'll receive importation. God is going to raise leadership. I believe that every person sitting in a chair can lead in some way or another, can serve in some way or another. Whether you run a cell group, whether you lead people to the church, you can do something, but you can be empowered by the Spirit of God. You're not just a pew sitter. Are you guys with me? There are three levels to Christianity. Three levels of faith, three types of people, if I can say it like that. Those who are on the shore, who watches the disciples going into the ocean on the boat. Those on the shore, I call them spectators. They just sit and watch. Then there are those who are in the boat going into the storm. At least they are participators. They are they're doing something. They out, they within the storm. But then you get another one who is a Peter, who steps out of the boat onto the storm. He is a demonstrator, a risk taker. Are you with me? You get participators and you get risk takers, and then you get spectators. Usually the spectators are undertakers. They like to just look for everything that's wrong and bury you. Come on, are you guys with me? Point number four, we can become unshakable by following a church. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 14, Paul is saying, for you, brethren, become followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Listen, you can follow a church by studying its leaders, its histories, its doctrine, its victories, its crisis, its errors. You can study our church. Some people came, one person came in church, I don't believe in what your church believes. I said, then you're believing wrong. I said, we're normal. Look at our statement of faith. Then somebody else said to me, I think one of his friends said to me, I don't see you preach Jesus. I don't believe in your faith. I don't hear Jesus. Okay. You're still by the milk of the word. Do you want to hear Jesus loves you every time something is said? So you can study our history, our doctrines. Look at our victories. Look our moves, our victories where we had people. Listen, we have people coming against us. Aye, aye, aye. But we are unshakable. When I say people come against you, just go plant a church and see what happens. You know, and moving into a bigger building like this where we're making a statement. We are showing, we are answering our critics with success. That's all you do. You don't get back, bite back. Just show them. That is it. Let God be upon you even this day. Even tonight and this morning, I prophesy that you will answer your critics with results, with success. If they say you cannot have that business, don't answer them. Start the business. You can have your seats. I know some are confused and saying, what the hell is going on in this church? The people are just excited. Leave them. In heaven, you're only going to have 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 30 minutes of silence. That is it. The rest, it's like sound of many waters. People worshiping and praising God. Lightnings and thunders at His throne. There's no silence in heaven. Listen. We can, number five, we can become unshakable by following the people. Now, this is where everybody is messing up. By following a people who the minister, the leader, the man of God, whatever phrase you want to use, delegates and appoints. If I delegate leaders, if I delegate a cell leader, and people don't want to follow that cell leader in that home cell, they rebel against it. It's like rebelling against my authority and God's authority. It's a delegated authority. If I rebel against the authority of the land, whether they're godly or ungodly, I rebel against God. Are you with me? Because God has put them into place. That's what the Bible is saying. Oh yes, He has. Sometimes for judgment of a country, sometimes to answer the prayers of a country, many things. Okay, so... And the scripture there says, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 16, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason, he says, for this is why I have sent to you Timothy. So imitate me, but I'm sending Timothy to you to follow him, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everyone in every church. We raise up leaders in the school of disciples, and we have a subject called catching the spirit of a leader. And we don't have a school of discipleship with 5 or 6 people. We had 80 something people. Okay. Catching the spirit of a leader, so that when they go and minister on my behalf, or they run a home cell, I know that they have my spirit. Paul says that he may remind you of my ways. Are you with me? Did he say God's ways? No, come on, let's just get into the real gospel. Did Paul say God's ways? Okay, so don't look at me like that. He says, and he will remind you of my ways. Every church has a personality, has a DNA. Oh, okay, we're going to lose another half of the crowd after this morning. And this is a soft, seeker-sensitive church. No, we're not seeker-sensitive. I bind those words. This is a soft, seeker-sensitive message that is here. What is seeker-sensitive? It's the churches that are too scared to do an altar call, too scared to prophesy, lest the people get offended. If you want to get offended by the power of the Holy Ghost, there's one person that leads this church. It's the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Bible says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Where the Holy Ghost is Lord, if He wants to come in and prophesy, heal the sick, whatever He wants to do, if I allow Him to do that, He is Lord of this church. Listen. Point number 6. We become unshakable if we follow the faith and patience of those who have gone before us. When I say man of God, I'm speaking about the heroes that we're going to speak in the Bible. Say with me, faith and patience. The Bible says they inherited the promises by their faith and patience. Are you with me? So we must have faith and patience. Even in this church, we're only 6 months old. Just after the verse there, it says the two key elements you must look out for in a man. And we're not going to be long. Give us 10 minutes and we'll be done. In a man of following his faith and patience. Why? The Bible teaches us that it is the faith and patience of the person that enabled him to inherit the promise. It is when you look at somebody, oh, they're a shooting star. We're not a shooting star. We've been going for long in ministry. We just happened to plant the church 6 months ago. Before that, we had a ministry for 4 years. Before that, I was serving. I've been ministering for 10 years before that. Point number 7. In order to become unshakable, that's actually the wrong wording there. When I say laziness, we must overcome laziness. I must actually take that out, sorry. And slothfulness. We must overcome slothfulness. That we do not be slothful. Are you guys with me? Go to your next page. I wrote there in a title there, becoming unshakable in the life, in following the life and principles of Abraham. I want us to look at Abraham. This will be short. 4 points, 4 things that stands out of in Abraham's life that we can take it like that is practical. If we apply it, we can have a measure of success. Are you guys with me? And we're going to go through a lot like David and Elijah and these powerful things. Listen. There's powerful things. It is time, like I said here, to follow the father of faith. In order to do so, we must look closely at his life. What did Abram do that made him such a great man? The Bible teaches that we should follow after people who have successfully inherited God's promises. Genesis 13 verse 1 to 2. Then Abram went up from Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had. Say with you, all that he had. He did not carry that on one camel, okay? It was parades of camels. Jabez said, bless me, extend my borders, enlarge my tent, do everything. I want to be so blessed. Why? When you are blessed, you are a testimony to those who are out there. When they walk into this church and there's excellence in this building, when they look and they see, but how did they get money to do these things? How? It speaks of the testimony of God. In heaven, even the streets are paved with gold. Listen, and if you get close to this ministry, you will be blessed. When you're under the sound of my voice, you cannot not be blessed. I don't know how to explain it. When you sit under this anointing, it'll be an insult to me if somebody is sitting and not getting blessed. Listen. Listen. Abram was, say with me, very rich. Say very. That means a lot. You must say, I want that right now. That's what the Bible says. If Abram in the old covenant can have it, the Apostle Paul is saying in the new covenant that the old covenant has nothing, it's even nothing compared to what the new covenant is. The old covenant is nothing in comparison to what you and I have. Because Abram only had the Spirit upon him. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. God moving and walking and living and breathing and talking, having His way. Wherever you go, He is. This is the God. Listen. Very rich. It says, in livestock. Now you can say, yeah, but it was animals. But it goes on. It says, in silver and in gold. Abram was successful person. He was married and had children. He was very rich in cattle, silver and gold. In our day, he probably would have had investments, I wrote here, in banks, properties, and in stocks. Abram was a person who knew God. The Lord spoke to him many times and answered his prayers. Abram also fought and won some battles on his lifetime. Finally, Abram died at the good old age, having seen the mercies of God throughout his life. Even when Jesus told the story of Lazarus and the rich man, he mentioned that Lazarus was taken, say with me, Abram's bosom. Listen, and the reason I'm keeping to the notes is so that I can get the message through. Is that okay? Do you guys prefer the notes? Do you like the notes? Okay. But Abram's bosom, listen to this. Abram, the Bible says that he tithed a tithe of all. Are you guys with me? And then it says, and Melchizedek blessed him. The word blessed means barak, means cursed. Which means that God, Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ, no beginning, no end, no mother, no father, Melchizedek, blessed him. But the Bible says to curse him. In the Hebrew, it goes to be offended and to kneel down. Which means that I know some of you know this, but it tells me there that God knelt down before Abraham. Because God was offended in Abram's giving. Abram gave so much. God owned Melchizedek, only brought him wine and bread. And the Bible says Abram tithed a tithe of all. He gave him silver. He gave him gold. He gave him livestock. He gave him so much that God had to... The picture in the Hebrew, and anybody can take me on in this, means to fall down on your knees and to kneel down before one. It means to be offended. It means that God became so offended in Abram's giving because Abram outgave God. And God said, no, I have to change this thing. I have to turn this thing around because no person can outgive me. And then he goes on and he says, blessed are you, Abram, of God. Say with me, of God. Now it's not God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Now it's Abram of God. Read your Bible. Are you with me? Blessed are you, Abram of God, possessor of heaven and earth. And God said to Abram, listen, you are now possessor of heaven and earth. But Leon, where is it in the scripture? When people in the Old Testament died, they would go to Abram's bosom, which means that Abram possessed heaven and earth. Are you with me? God said, I can't let this man outgive me. I have to give much more to him. I challenge God like this. I would give until my bank account. I mean, my wife and I were stuck in London. We couldn't go anywhere because we've given everything in the ministry and in the personal. Because I would challenge God. I would put him in a place where he's obligated to move. Otherwise, he'll be embarrassed. Anyway, okay. That's my relationship with God. Are you guys with me? Provoking heaven to respond. I'm busy writing a book and it'll be released soon. I just wait until we get into the new book. Provoking heaven to respond to you. Doing something that causes God to be provoked. That he cannot overlook you because of an act that you've done that caught his attention. We have caught God's attention by this church and this new building in this city. He cannot pass you by in this building. Even as I speak, God is in this place. Because we grabbed a hold of him, we caught his attention. Come on. Listen. So even Jesus even speaks of Lazarus at Abram's bosom. Abram did something to catch God's attention. Let's look at the secrets of Abram's life. Let's go to page 5. Next page there. And we're almost done. Like I said, just give me 5 minutes and then we're done. As 5 minutes might be 30 minutes, no, it won't. We'll be finishing now, okay. We usually finish at 11, otherwise like this, I ask them just to do one or two worship songs more. And then otherwise we go not later than 11:30. Abram, point number one, say with me, obedient. Abram was obedient. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 3 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. This is the first word that God gave me as a believer. I had to move out of my family's house, move out of the land that I knew. And I had to be obedient to that. He says, move out of your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you, say with me, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram had, he was instantly and immediately obedient to that word that God gave him. Are you guys with him? Because of that obedience, he was blessed. The first time we hear of Abram, the Lord was giving him an instruction. God told him to leave his country and travel to a strange land. Abram immediately obeyed. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I'm going to say it again. Delayed obedience is disobedience in everything. If you obey God, it will bring blessings to your life. God told him that he would make a great nation out of him. Notice that all the blessings of Abram were on the condition that he obeyed God's command. Are you guys with me? There are many people in the world and God has blessings for everyone. However, the key that makes the blessings manifest is obedience. Abram took the decision of a lifetime. He decided to leave his family and his country and launch out in obedience to God. In our lives, we are likely to make two or three momentous decisions. These are decisions that changes the entire course of our lives. Remember that greatness is dependent on obedience to the voice of God. Blessings are reserved for those who hear and obey. Point number two, say with your faith. Abram had faith. Now we know this, that Genesis 15 verse 6, it says that, and Abram had faith. He believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Do you know that Abram was a Gentile? Are you guys with me? Abram was a Gentile, yet he became the father of the Jews by faith. And that's it. He just believed. He saw the cross over 4,000 years later. And he just believed on that and he was accounted to righteousness. He's a Gentile. You don't believe me? Go research it. Are you with me? If that is the case where it was impossible, how about us sitting in this place who has the Spirit of God? Listen, Hebrews 11 verse 6 there, almost at the bottom. Just read this. Without faith, simply without faith, it is impossible to please him. When we moved into this building, even when we started Encounter, we did everything by faith. We saved up for nothing. We didn't have a savings account of a million or so to move into this building. We didn't have 1 cent. But people just began to give, People's hearts were willing and open. And there are people sitting in this building who's given so much. And they are part of this. You cannot, if you leave, you're going to drive past this building. You're going to see the sign. And you're going to be like, but I gave so much. I paid the sound or I did this. That's what giving does. It makes you part. It shows God that you're serious. Are you with me? Point number three. So we see that Abram was obedient. Abram had faith. The third thing, Abram ruled his own house. Are you guys with me? This is a thing that men is not doing. My God. And we'll have still men conferences or men stuff here so that men can just begin to wear the pants in the house. Because the people that I have to counsel, I'm like, my God. It's like, I have to go. My wife is waiting for me. I have to. I'm not saying walk over your wife. I'm just saying, if things are out of order, Jezebel is there. You don't want to. Jezebel is not a male or a female. It can be a man in a suit sitting in front of the church. Are you guys with me? I mean, it's not a female with lipstick and a short skirt. No. That's not Jezebel. We have missed it completely. Jezebel has nothing to do with lust. Jezebel has everything to do with witchcraft. When somebody wants to rule out of order. Are you with me? Okay, on the sixth page, it says there, so ruling your house, Abram ruled his house. If you're following Abram, you must lead your household successfully. One of the reasons why God chose Abram and blessed him was because Abram commanded his entire family to serve God. When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord thought, should I inform Abram about this? Imagine, before God destroyed a whole nation, a whole city, he first went and informed Abram to get Lot out. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. God said, there's something in this man, Abram, that I have to just warn him that he can get his whole family out of that place before I bring judgment. When you rule your house, he said, should I inform Abram about this? Should I speak to him? Many people would like God to speak to them. So why did God choose to speak to Abram? The answer is in the Bible. He commanded his family to follow after his ways. Genesis 18 verse 19, listen to that. It says, for I know him, God says, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Are you guys with me? Many people do not care what happens to their children spiritually. They are concerned that their children attend a good school and good universities. In contrast, they take the spiritual development of their children for granted. If you're following Abram, you must be concerned that your household serves the Lord. It's more important that your children serve God than a good education. Good education will come, but put the kingdom first. God said, I know Abram. He's going to bring his children to Sunday school. He's going to make them study the Bible. If you're a young person, you must marry a Christian. I wrote here. Some young ladies marry men who are not even Christians. Some men just marry a wife because she is beautiful and fair. Yes, she is fair and beautiful. She is fair and a beautiful barrel, but she may be empty, an empty barrel. You must marry someone who has the word and the spirit. The Bible says beauty fades. But a woman who fears the Lord is forever, is a treasure. Are you with me? God said, I know Abram. The art of following Abram is the art of tithing. Tithing is giving 10% of all you earn to the church. In every church, there's always a small percentage of people who tithe. Tithing is a secret which is hidden from many people. They might know about it, but they haven't caught a revelation of it. If you don't have a revelation of it, you do it once and you stop. Then there's a message, you do it again, you stop. You don't have a revelation. But when I caught a revelation of honor and tithing, I am too scared not to do it. I would tithe to my spiritual father, to Pastor Mark. He's our covering of this church, and I would tithe to him. And sometimes, he would phone me, he's like, Leon, why did you give so much? It's tithing. That's not my seed or offering. I said, I'm too scared to not do that. On the first, it's in his account. The gross of this church. Not net. And trust me, this is an international ministry. Let me say it like this. An international business. Some people are like, I must only tithe from profit of my business. Or maybe I'll trust God and I'll tithe from the net. No, you don't understand. I count every cent that comes into this thing. I take a 10% of it and I give it. That is why the people here, I know that if people give into the church, they will be blessed. And it's just like that, you'll be blessed. And you can give Jesus a hand for that, because many, listen, I have traveled to big churches, they don't tithe. My friends have churches. I'll say, so where do you guys tithe all this? Some friends came to me, they said for 20 years, they've got churches. Their churches never tithed. You think they do. How can I expect the church to give if we don't give? Then they begin to give into charity. That's not tithing. That is your charitable deed. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Are you guys with me? And that we will do as we grow. Tithing is a different thing. Tithing must go to the storehouse, not to the charitable house. Storehouse, knowing that my people have, that there's food in my house. Tithing causes the lights to go on, causes you to have nice bathrooms, causes you to be blessed and for us to grow and for the gospel to be advanced and to be reached. Tithing does not go to the poor. It's giving and seeds and offering and charitable deeds go to the poor. Are you guys with me? So, and many churches don't tithe. And you know, like I said, I would be like, for 20 years as a church, you haven't tithed. You can be assured, you can even check our accounts. In this church, we tithe. We might give much more than just our tithing, but we tithe, which means that your money goes to God. And you can be assured of that. Amen? So, we almost finished. You may also notice that it is only a small percentage of people who prosper. Tithing is a secret, which is hidden. It's hidden from people. Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek 400 years before the law. Okay? Genesis chapter 14, verse number 2. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and Abram gave him a tithe of all. Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. He represented God and the church. In fact, the Bible says he was Christ manifested. All successful people who have walked with God know that it is God who gave them what they have. When King David gave an offering, he said, I'm only giving you what you first gave me. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 14 on the last page there. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? King David says, for all things come from you and your own we have given and of your own we have given you. When I tithe, that portion belongs to God. It's not even a blessing in terms of my money. That 10% belongs to God. Every position you hold in this life is by the grace of God. If you do not decide to give glory to God, He will divinely displace and replace you. One of the ways a successful person can give glory to God is by acknowledging the grace of God and paying tithes. You must remember that all you have is from the Lord. Abram knew the secret. He knew that he had to acknowledge God for his success in life, so he gave tithes. If you want to follow Abram, we must learn to pay tithes. I want you to notice a great blessing that came on Abram after he paid tithes. God gave him a child. God was stirred to give more blessings to Abram. Abram was already loaded and rich. Are you guys with me? But there's one thing that he was missing, a child. After these things, Genesis 15 verse 1. After these things, after what things? Paying his tithes. That is after Genesis 14, 20, when he paid a tithe of all. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. This was the first time that God had specifically told Abram that he was going to have his own child, which would not be a servant's child. Abram had everything in the world, but he didn't have a child. God knows what you don't have. He knows where your need is greatest. He gave Abram what he could not buy with money. Tithing will give you stuff you cannot buy with money. I was sitting in this building and I said, God, in 6 months you did this. Look at the children's church. Look at the bathrooms. Look at the things that God has done. We have a studio here. Alan is busy building a whole studio. Look at what you have done. Look at the lights. I said, why? In 6 months, what have we as a people done to deserve this? We don't deserve this. And God said to me, one thing you honor, you give seed. And we have sowed crazy with this church. I promise you. It is either luck that we have hit by chance. But there's no such thing as chance. You guys know, there's no such thing as coincidence. Coincidence is when God remains silent. So listen. In Genesis 14, Abram paid his tithes. And in Genesis 15, the very next few verses, God told him that he was going to get a miracle. God blesses those who tithe. They are a blessed people. Go into a church and find out those who have been paying tithes consistently for years. Their lives are different from those who have not been paying tithes. Come to the Lord and honor Him with every month. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, as we read earlier on the offering, honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Paying a tithe is not something that you must be reminded of. The fact that you are alive must remind us to pay tithes. When we give tithes to God, we become more spiritual. It makes you more committed. When your treasure is in the house of the Lord, in the church, when you give, you become interested. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Say this with me. Say, where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. We used to have a saying and say, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your heart.
There's people that are sitting here that have experienced healing, that have experienced miracles, financial breakthrough within 6 months. I'm not speaking of 10 years. I'm speaking 6 months. And I'm decreeing a 24-hour turnaround. Listen, if God can take the Israelites within 24 hours, they went to bed as slaves in Egypt and they woke up free with the riches of Egypt upon their back, where their enemy told them, just take everything, just take it. I prophesy that you will be blessed, that even your enemy will bless you, that tonight the heavens will be opened and there will be supernatural breakthrough in this place. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. Just praise Him and praise Him. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing. May you fill this place. Every person, as they leave this building, may your anointing linger upon them. May this word take root in our hearts. May this word be rooted in our spirits, in our hearts, in every area. Bring us tonight and may the heavens be open. May you move in miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.